Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to 2024, and welcome to everyone listening, the panelists, and everything as we move on with this show. We got so much to talk about here, and we know that a lot of you who are listening would like to dial in and let us know what's on your mind, so we can do that by dialing 646-668-8740. And all the men from around the United States here have so much to talk about and so many good things to talk about. We just want to get it going on to make your 2024 look good. The one problem we have is there's a massive winter storms, which puts nearly 70 million people at risk for severe weather. And if you're having some of those, maybe if you need to see if there's a winter weather alert effect where you live, you might want to find out now because there's so much going on. Well, welcome, gentlemen. Welcome to 2024. I hope you had a great Christmas and New Year. First on board was Michael. Michael, how are you doing, sir?
I'm good, David. How are you and how are all my fellow brothers? I hope you guys all had a wonderful New Year.
Yes, and
yes, we did.
And look who's back. How about, Bruce, how are you doing, sir?
Well, I'm back. You're right about that. Good to be back with all my brothers that are listening and those that are not. Hopefully will chime in with us. It's been a while, and we had a very successful Christmas train season and all the holidays and so forth. So hopefully our listeners still realize we're alive and well.
Yes. And Don, welcome. How are you feeling, and how was your holiday?
Everything was well, David. I'm feeling good. Welcome back, Bruce. We miss you, bro.
Oh,
and,
thanks.
Michael had a wonderful holiday, and I'm looking for more in 2024. It's a brand new year, and, man, the world is still crazy, but I'm going to try to be sane. I must try to remain sane. I'm going to try.
Yeah, that's the one thing we're all trying to do for 2024. It's been, you know, a lot of things going on. The Supreme Court has decided to make a decision on whether Donald Trump can be put on ballots or not, as state ballots. That seems to be something very interesting that's going to happen. Okay, so let's start off with different conversation. Michael, what is it you would like to bring to the table?
Oh, thank you for starting with me, David. Yes, I would like to bring up Miss Nikki Haley, who is the current presidential candidate on the Republican side. She's polling very well. She's the only chance at someone on the right beating Donald Trump, in my personal opinion. And I said last time on the show that I was leaning towards voting for her because I am a Democrat, been a Democrat my whole life, far left liberal. But I kind of like her and what she's talking about and what her policies are. So I was actually leaning towards her. It would have been the first time I ever voted Republican in my life. Well, I want to talk about her most recent gaffe or fumble or misstep, which she could not mention slavery in regards to a question when someone asked her what caused the Civil War. She gave a very long explanation as to what caused the Civil War, but she left out slavery. And it was all over the headlines. It was a huge fumble for her, a fumble to the point where, yeah, I'm not voting for her now. And like I said last week, I thought I was considering it. But after that, I'm not voting for her. She lost me. I'm going to go ahead and hold my breath and vote for Biden. So I want to throw that out to the panel. Did you guys see that fumble that Nikki Haley made? And what do you think of it? Do you think that's the end of her career? I'm going to start with the guy who's back, Bruce. I would love for you to answer that question.
Well, thanks, Michael. Yes, I did see. I don't know if I saw it in 17 different replays or the original, but yes, I did see it. And yes, you should have mentioned in her discussion somewhere in there, whether it's first, second, third, or fourth, but it should have been part of the discussion. Is it what's disappointing to me, Michael, is if you or anyone else is really thinking about voting for someone and someone missteps with eliminating a word or using a wrong phrase or something, well, I'm totally out now. To me, that's a little drastic. For me, if the shoe was on the other foot and I were you, Michael, and I was, favoring a Democratic or another Republican, and they made some gaffes, yeah, I'd call them out on it, absolutely. But would it, unless it was something super severe, would it change my opinion of voting for them? Probably not. So, you know, missing out on one word, one phrase, I think she knows that slavery was a part of it. Should she have mentioned it? Absolutely. Agree with you on that. Is it a career-ending move for her? No way.
All right, Don, what are your thoughts?
Thank you. Thank you, David. Michael, I saw that as well. And you have your opinion, and you mentioned before that you were leaning towards her statements earlier before that. Bruce, I don't think you recognize the severity of that misstep. Very severe. I would equate this as if a Jewish person mentioned the Holocaust and another candidate say it did not even exist. It's just that serious. It's serious to black people because we know.
Don, your mic went up.
Yeah, we lost you, Don.
Don,
okay,
can
you hear me now?
Yeah, we hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, we know it would be the same thing if I said, I don't know if slavery existed. Oh, no, it would be the same thing if I would say, I don't know if the Holocaust existed. It was just that severe for people of color. We know without a fact that the Civil War was a direct result of slavery. And it's a tragedy that she didn't even mention that. I mean, I can't even fathom in my mind why her and her team didn't cover that just to get the vote from people of color. It was a major misstep, major misstep.
Darius, what are your thoughts?
Hey, happy 2024, guys.
Yes,
so, yeah, I didn't hear the gaffe, but I heard about it. So I don't want to comment on, you know, her statement. But what I will say is that Nikki Haley is the establishment. And so I don't really care for her anyway. She supports the military-industrial complex. And when you start to see all of the establishment politicians supporting her, then that right there tells me to back away. But what is really rich to me is Michael saying he's not going to support her because of a gaffe. When, but I'm going to vote for Joe Biden instead, who is the king of gaffes. That's like saying I'm not gonna vote for Donald Trump because he groped somebody. I'm going to vote for Harvey Weinstein instead.
Yeah.
Are you serious, Michael? That is so backwards, man. Joe Biden? There's no one that's made more misstatements or more gaffes than Joe Biden.
Okay, if I may. fair enough. I agree with you. Joe Biden is the gaffe king. I agree with you on that 1,000%. But to Don Wiggins' point, it's what this particular gaffe was about. This wasn't just any ordinary thing. And to just take it further to what my brother Wiggins was saying, it would be the equivalent if somebody came to me and say, hey, Michael, what was World War II all about? And I say everything other than, oh, it was about Hitler trying to slaughter those Jews. If I said, oh, it was about economics, it was about blah, 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 they would cancel me, okay, literally. That would be a huge insult to the Jewish community if I answered the question that way. So, Bruce, yeah, you don't really understand the pain of slavery and Jim Crow and how that affects our community. So that particular question you don't get a pass on, meaning if you fumble that question, yeah, I'll vote for the Gab King over you, because at least the Gab King understands the severity of that question, and he would answer that one the right way.
All right. May I enter in with another response?
Sure.
The fact that the word was left out, Michael, you automatically indict and say every black person in the world, or at least in the United States, was mortally offended by that. Both, they were not. There were a lot of very capable, competent, smart, and I actually put you in that category, Michael. That's what makes me scratch my head even more, that said, okay, yeah, she screwed up. God knows, as Darius said, we've got screw-ups going on all over the place. So every time someone says a word, this leaves a word out, this and that, you're going to totally change. You're going to be bouncing back and forth like a ping pong ball on who you vote for. But it's convenient that whenever any gaffes on the far left, I always distinguish far crazy left, make gaffes, that's okay. That's not a problem. There are a lot of white, black, green, pink, and every other color you can think of on the left that would totally disagree with what you just said.
Okay, if I may real quick, David, I don't want to hog the floor, but Bruce, first and foremost, for you to tell me that you have more of a your finger on the pulse of what the black community thinks and feels more than me, a guy that's been a black guy his whole life, that's just another part of you don't understand, and I kind of want to say your white privilege showing a little bit. There's no way you could tell me that you communicated this conversation with more black people than I have. I guarantee you, you have not. And trust me, the majority of the black people were farly offended by the fact that she left out slavery in that question. Okay, let's just start with that. Actually, I'm going to end with that, David. I'm sorry.
And last but not least, and then I'll shut up, is you go to the extreme. You said all or nothing, and you are wrong. I don't have to be black to realize that. I have a lot of people that are of all different varieties and colors and persuasions and experiences that would totally disagree. So you always want to paint the extreme that because I said that I included every black person in the world or in the United States. I didn't say that. You extrapolate that. Just like I'll leave one simple little sample that's very illustrative. The moment that Donald Trump said, I'm going to be a dictator for one day, the Democrats have never completed that discussion, just like January 6th, where they say, oh, he's going to be a dictator. He's going to be a dictator. He didn't say that. You conveniently massage and change words to fit your narrative, and that's despicable.
All right. Any answers to that, Michael?
Absolutely. I just didn't want to hog the floor like Bruce always does.
Oh, of course.
Okay, back to the point. Bruce, once again, I'm going to just start with, you clearly said, Michael, I'm pretty sure there's more black people who disagree with your way of thinking. That's your white supremacy showing, telling me that you know more about my community than I do. Okay, I'm just going to start with that. Now, let's just get back to the topic and the fumble with Miss Nikki Haley. That pain that we feel, Bruce, you're never going to understand that pain we feel in our community for slavery, Jim Crow, blah, 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 blah. Okay. That was a very important question to me. You haven't been on the show in a while, but I've actually been blowing Nikki Haley's horn for the last few shows. I've been saying how dope I thought she was and how I was going to vote for her. So for me to switch and say I'm not voting for you, that's how deep that scar is. You don't understand that scar, and you never will, okay? So as my fellow American, I ask you, and those who look like you and don't understand, I ask you, as my fellow American, can you please, for once, understand how deep that scar is to us?
And you should, for once, understand that people that look like you, Michael, don't all agree with your extreme positions. Just because they're black or another minority doesn't make them think the way you do. I try to have an open mind, and you don't seem to understand that. So I'm not going to win that battle with you, and I'm not going to try anymore.
All right. So let's move on. Don, do you have something you would like to bring to the table this week?
Yeah, David, the world's going crazy, man. The world's going crazy.
Right.
I mean, you know, in the words of the deceased Rodney King, why can't we all get along, man? I like that saying, man. Before he died, he penned that thing. Why can't we all get along? You know, I'm a part of a nationwide travel show called Traveling with Danella, and we go to different countries, different cities, municipalities to promote tourism. And we went to Jackson, Mississippi. And we did a show from Jackson, Mississippi. And then I come to find out that January 4th, 2024, it was crazy. It was crazy. I sent you guys something that was reported. Over 200 bodies were found behind the jail in Jackson, Mississippi. 216 bodies were found buried behind the jail in Jackson, Mississippi. And that's not to mention the water crisis that is happening last year in Jackson, Mississippi, where the water crisis was very equivalent to Flint, Michigan. What's going on in Jackson, Mississippi? Are we going back to 1963 again? My God, why can't we all get along?
All right. Don, was there any record on nationality of those bodies? Hello?
I think you lost him again.
Oh.
Well, I'll answer that real quick, David. It was diverse. That was my first question as well, and I looked it up. It was diverse.
Okay. All right. Darius, something you wanted to bring
thank
to the
Michael. Thank you, Michael. It was diverse. It was different nationalities, David. And the thing is, why would something like that happen? How could something like that be allowed to happen?
I would say that it's happened a lot of places, not just the ones they discovered. Being ex-police officer myself, I would say that was just one of the places that's found. But anyway, let's move on. Darius, do you have anything you want to bring to the table?
Thank you, David. I appreciate that, man. And actually, I do have something I want to bring to the table. This right here is, of course, it's political, but I don't mean it to be in a divisive way. I simply want to hear what the other side thinks about this. So we have a situation where migrants are flooding the border, and we have the governor of Texas and Governor DeSantis that are shipping these migrants to cities who say that they're sanctuary cities. And what I find curious is when you send these migrants to New York and Chicago, for instance, you have, and California, you have Democratic mayors and governors blaming the governor of Texas, blaming Ron DeSantis, and saying everything but who is actually at fault for it, which is Joe Biden. Now, I'm not going to ask that question because I know why they're not pointing the blame where it lies, because it's a home team thing. They can't accuse their captain when he's calling the plays. But what I am curious as to is, don't you think that this situation directly impacts people of the black community more than the white communities? And if these Democratic mayors claim that they're for the black communities or the minority communities, they would be a little bit more assertive in calling out Joe Biden, who does not care about black people, even if he says something like what Michael is looking for him to say that the Civil War was because of slavery. Their actions point that they don't give a darn about black people. And the other thing in that case, regarding this crisis, is shouldn't these mayors just come out and say, you know what, we withdraw our claim to be a sanctuary city? Because when Donald Trump came in, all these guys said, oh, you're welcome here. We're a sanctuary city. You're welcome. You're welcome. Now they're coming. And now you guys want to blame the governors of these border states. So I'm just curious from my pals on the left, don't you think it's oppressive to the black community to have all these migrants come in? And number two, should these mayors renounce themselves as a sanctuary city?
I'll take that call, Darius. I'll take that. And I agree with you, Darius. It's very oppressive, very mad, sickening for me, because I know it's a system to dilute. They're trying to dilute the black vote, Darius, by letting all these migrants come in. That's going to make the black vote to none effect. And that's the whole game. You know, we've talked about these minorities and the border for the past 10 years. Donald Trump said he was going to get the Mexican government to pay for it. He failed. It increased during the Biden administration. And I think it's a systematic plan to dilute, discourage black vote, and increase people that are not of color political field. Hispanic vote is increasing like never before. I'm seeing it in full effect here in Miami. I mean, it's in color, various colors. And I agree with you, Darius. We need to really attack the border situation, because they're coming in using up federal dollars. Healthcare is sickening. The jobs that used to be obtained by low income or people of color are not there, because the migrants are coming in working, not paying taxes, et cetera. We've got to address that situation. And then we got to take care of home before we start taking care of Ukraine and Gaza. It's crazy. The world's going crazy.
All right. Can I interject one sure. quick question to you, Don?
Sure, Bruce.
Thank you. Don, then to the point I think that Darius started to make, and I agree with a lot of what you said. It's crazy. It's wrong. So on and so forth. But the one question is, then why aren't so many more people on the left, whatever position on the left, fighting Biden about it? Particularly the black and the underprivileged.
Bruce, Biden is playing politics with this, because see, he's saying Congress or the Senate would not give me the money to fix it. That's what he's saying. That's his out.
I don't have the money to fix it.
But you have the voice. When, you've got a big.
But everybody, you've got the voice. Everybody doesn't think. Everybody doesn't think like me, though, Bruce.
I mean, I think I'm the box. I didn't mean just you.
Well, if I may opine, please.
Sure.
Hey, Darius, I agree with you on this one. This is one of the reasons I was looking at voting for the Republicans. I live in ground zero for illegal immigration, straight up. I live in Los Angeles, California. I live in ground zero. I see it every day in 3D. Okay, I live here in ground zero of a sanctuary city and a sanctuary state that welcomes them in. So I see what it's done to the community. It has destroyed the black community in Los Angeles, California. There is no more black community. Los Angeles, California, in our county, we have a city called Compton, California, which is a historically very well-known black community. It is no more. There are no more black people in that city, or the city of Compton. It's all Latino. So I see what it is doing to our community. So absolutely, positively, you're right, Bruce. The black community should be with the Republicans on this one. They should. I am. That's why I was going to vote for Nikki Haley. Because it's an invasion. It's literally an invasion. It's no different. There's 100,000 coming in a day. That's no different than when Russia has 100,000 troops on the border of Ukraine. It's no different. They're coming in like that. So, yeah, the Biden administration really needs to do something about it, and they are not. So I'm with the Republicans. I'm with Donald Trump on building the wall. I'm totally in on that. So I agree with you on that one, Darius and Bruce.
Well, Michael and Donald, do you guys think that – I'm sorry, David. Is it okay if I rebut?
Yes, go ahead.
Do you guys think then – okay, first of all, I'm going to make the statement again – that the Democratic Party does not care about black people. You guys didn't talk about that, but that's fine. It wasn't a question. It was a statement. I'm also saying, though, like Bruce said, how come there aren't any prominent Democrat politicians that are calling Biden out on it? And number two is, don't you think it's time that these guys now say, okay, they want the governors to stop sending people there to say, hey, we are no longer a sanctuary city or a sanctuary state.
Yes, I do. I really wish the Democrats would go ahead and take the pie in the face, take the egg in the face and be like, okay, we were absolutely positively wrong on this one, and we are no longer a sanctuary city or state. But they will never do it because they've lost control. They've lost control. If they do that, they're done, and they know if they do that, the Republicans will take over, and they know that. They know that's the last thing they got to hold on to. If Gavin Newsom were to say that tomorrow, he's getting voted out of there. I hate to say it. If my mayor, Karen Bass, says that tomorrow, she's getting voted out of there. So that's why to answer your question. Go ahead.
Quick comment? Thanks, Mike. Then why, Michael, part – I won't say all, but part of the strong black community, why aren't they going after this? Are they going to sit on their hands then and not vote at all? Or are they going to continue to vote for Biden even though all the things you say are, and I agree with you, are true? What are they going to do?
Hey, Bruce, it's politics, Bruce. It's politics. Bruce, it's politics. It's the same way. Then no one will really tell the truth about Jews.
You're fading, Don.
The land.
So what will those strong black leaders do? Will they vote for Biden anyway with all of what you say is wrong, or will they sit on their hands when it comes to voting?
Okay, let's be clear. There are no strong black leaders, Bruce. Let's just be clear. There are none.
You won't get a lot of pushback from me on that. You're right.
Okay, then let's just start there. There are none. Every black leader is a puppet. There is not one strong black leader.
Wow.
There is no Malcolm X in there. There is
I'm
no Malcolm X in there.
I hear you say that.
No. Our leaders, I mean, to be totally honest, I know the Congressional Black Caucus. I look at every last one of them. We're talking about it's the best Maxine Waters, but she's in her 80s. She would probably be the one, but she's in her 80s. And she's a female. So, yeah, there aren't any strong black leaders over there, unfortunately.
Okay.
That's a sad statement, Michael, but I have to agree with you on that, man. I can't think of anyone right now, and you're so right on that, man. That's on either side. So that is a very sad statement of fact, but it is indeed a fact.
Yeah, I mean, even Tim Scott tried. You see how they embarrassed him and got him out of the race, so you can't even put him in the strong black leadership category.
No.
All right, guys. Let's switch the conversation just a little bit. There are other ways to go. We have spent so much time talking about guns in America. And not recently, but there was a lawsuit filed by the U.S. Attorney General Letitia James in 2020 to dissolve the National Rifle Association, the NRA, claiming the organization violated laws for nonprofit groups, took millions of personal use, and committed tax fraud. And it's set to go in trial and come before the Supreme Court. Do you think the Supreme Court should take this case to get rid of the NRA? Because according to what Ms. James alleges, that the current and the former NRA leadership instituted a culture of self-dealing mismanagement, benefiting themselves, their families, their friends, and favored vendors through money taken from the NRA, that the NRA didn't really do nothing but use it as a nonprofit to collect money and make themselves rich. So now it's set to go before the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court are passing it back and forth whether they should or should not take this case. What are your thoughts on that? Let's say, Don, what are your thoughts?
I'd like to reserve my thoughts after I hear what someone else or other statements.
All right. Darius, what are your thoughts?
Okay. So Letitia James has absolutely zero credibility. Even if her claims happen to have some sort of validity, she doesn't have any. She's proven to be a partisan clown, and that dilutes any claims that she would bring forth in my eyes. Now, does she have a point? David, I would venture to say you can take probably 98.9% of every 501c3 in the country and find out that every single one of them have used proceeds to enrich their friends, their family, their colleagues, and their cronies. It happens everywhere. So if you're going to take this on, Letitia James, take them all on, because I can point to every 501c3 charity, not only organizations. I mean, let's just even make it local. Let's look at our local churches. And let's look at how the preachers are rich and how their children are rich and how their friends are rich. I mean, they all do it. They all do it. The point is, are they doing it within the parameters that are allowed by the state? And I think each state has a certain amount of money that has to go directly to charities. And it's a very small percentage, guys. You'd be surprised. Some of them are less than 20% that have to actually physically go to a charity. So I'm not saying Letitia James doesn't have a gripe. I just find it very odd that out of the thousands or hundreds of thousands of 501c3s and organizations, she picks the NRA. Like, come on, guys. Like, we don't see that coming.
Are you saying Letitia James is not credible because she's the one that filed charges against Trump?
I'm saying she's not credible not only because she filed the charges against Trump, but because she ran with the promise of filing charges against Trump, evidence unseen. She ran with the promise of getting Republicans out of office before she even found a crime. She named a judgment before there was even a crime committed. So, yeah, she's not credible. And she did it when she was running for governor in New York, and that she didn't make it very far in that. The people didn't want her. So she had to make all these extra promises as attorney general without even seeing any evidence. So, yeah, she's not credible.
So you're saying people in office should not plan or tell the public what they're thinking about doing when they're in office, so that would make them incredible, and people shouldn't vote for them or even like anything they're saying because they're going to tell you what they're going to do when they're in office. But don't you think that's how politicians get positions?
No, not when you're attorney general. If I'm running for police commissioner and I say, look, if you guys elect me, I'm going to lock David Shorter up. I'm going to put him in jail. And you're like, what did I do? And I can't even tell you what you did because I haven't seen it. But I'm just making a promise that because the public does not like David, I'm going to put him in jail. And when I get in office, I'm going to find something to lock David up. That's not prudent. That's not credible. You already had a preconceived notion before you went into the chair. And that's not what it's all about. That's not what a true republic, representative republic or democracy is all about, David.
If there was something public that I did that was, in your mind, illegal or something that the public should not have agreed with, don't you think that would be the case somebody would have to make?
But what was that? She never said what it was because nobody said. It was only the fact that they didn't like Donald Trump. There wasn't anything that she said he did. There wasn't anything stated that he had done in the state of New York that warranted persecution or prosecution.
Okay, but
if she had named that.
Okay, so for the NRA, can you tell me something the NRA has done to help take all the guns and everything off the street so people would be alive today? And these schools, kids would be scared of going to school or anything like that? Has the NRA done anything to help?
I'm so glad that you asked that question. I wanted to say it earlier, but I didn't want to take up too much time. So what the NRA is the only responsible, I shouldn't say the only one, there are probably some other organizations, but they're the primary responsible organization that teaches private citizens gun safety. It teaches private citizens how to fire a weapon, how to store a weapon. It trains them. It educates them about their weapons, what they are capable of doing and what they're not capable of doing, how they should be used properly. So why would you want to get rid of the number one agency that promotes and trains and teaches for free gun safety if you're so worried about guns? That is ridiculous. And what makes Letitia James incredible again is, like I was telling you earlier, David, there are probably a million 501c3 organizations that have misused funds. Why is this the only one that you're going after? Because you're a partisan, that's why. And everybody sees it. And that's what makes you non-credible.
Wayne LePierre has talked about other people taking funds, and now he's got his hands in the cookie jar. The NRA, he's led the NRA for years. Can you imagine the money he's taken and the major corporations that he's convinced to back political clients? I mean, this goes far beyond any 501c3 that he's done.
I doubt that very highly. Don, that's common practice for 501c3s. That's what they do. They raise money and they donate it to the parties that promote what their agenda is. And if you guys don't care about the NRA anyway, why would you care if they took money from gun-toting rednecks, as if the liberals think everybody member of the NRA is? You guys shouldn't be worried about it at all. She's not going after the teachers' unions when we've seen the teachers' union launder money to the Democratic Party. Why isn't she pursuing them when they have wasted and squandered funds? Where's all the COVID money that the teachers' unions got to not come to school, to not teach our kids? So what I'm saying, Don, is there are millions of organizations that are involved in this. And if you want to go after them, Letitia James, then do it. But be even-handed.
And one of the most guilty, if I may add, because I got to, if you take that template of explanation that you used on the NRA and you lay that on top of Black Lives Matter, you've got more abuse than you can ever believe. They have undocumented abuse far beyond
the NRA. Oh, man, good point.
So don't,
wonderful point, Bruce.
Yes.
Okay, if I may real quick, guys, we just had a conversation about why there's no strong leaders and voices in the black community, and you guys just set the example as to why, because when there is one, you guys go after them, especially you, Darius, to go after Letitia James. Letitia James is a powerful voice in my community, in my black community, but a guy like you just tear her down and call her a clown. Bruce, BLM is a very strong voice in my community, but guys like you want to go after them and tear them down.
Abusive
so you guys
voice.
Just made the point as
abusive
to why there is
voice,
no,
Michael. Abusive
any
voice.
Any voice from my community,
sorry,
you're going to consider it abusive.
Oh,
any voice
man.
From my community,
you are
you're
so
going
blind.
To consider it abusive. So,
you are so blind.
But let me address the Wayne LaPierre and the NRA and all that. Letitia James is a very smart, powerful, educated woman, and she's doing the right thing. There is, yes, when people get nominated, get elected to office, there's always a preconceived notion. There always is, and you just underscored that when you said that there's nothing wrong with the NRA donated to them because they have a particular agenda. So, yeah, everybody that gets elected for office, they have a preconceived notion. Bobby Kennedy got elected by saying he was going after the mob, and he got elected and went after the mob. So, yeah, that always happens, Darius. There's nothing wrong with that. Letitia James on the up and up, and I hope she locks LaPierre up for life.
And
Michael,
Black Lives
going after crime, saying I'm going after organized crime is one thing. Singling out an individual that you have no evidence on at all is something totally different. And this is another reason why Letitia James is a fraud and why she is a clown. All the crime going on in New York City, if she really cares about black people, like you said, my community, my people, if she really gave a damn about her people, she would focus on cleaning up the murders, the crimes, and the drug dealing going on in the streets of New York. But she wants to focus her efforts on getting Donald Trump. You know why? Because she has political aspirations. She's a fraud. And you are sitting up here holding her up as she's some kind of hero for black people, when she's letting black people die on the streets. They can't even come outside their homes. They interviewed a lady in Jamaica, Queens. She said, I cannot come outside to go to work because they run the streets. The criminals do. And you want to tell me Letitia James cares about her community? She don't give a damn about her community. She cares about her own political aspirations, and her getting Donald Trump and going after the NRA is one way to get her a step closer to a higher political ground. And if she's got to step on some poor black people on her way, she's all too happy to do it. So you keep supporting that, Michael.
Hey, Darius, let me ask you a question. Were not Letitia James and there was someone else in that position to investigate Donald Trump, would that be acceptable to you?
Not acceptable to me to investigate anybody without a crime or a hint of a crime or an accusation of a crime. No, it's not okay. Because Don,
wait a minute,
I guarantee
wait,
you.
Wait.
Let me finish.
This is more than an accusation. Come on, brother. This is more than an accusation.
Tell me what accusation did she have against Donald Trump before she took office? What? Name one. It was
you
just that they didn't like her. Yeah, no, I don't. There was no crime there. Nobody accused Donald Trump of any crimes in the state of New York before Letitia James while she was running for office. Nobody did. And Don,
he had all the politics in his pocket.
Okay,
there
you go.
Jesus.
Michael, if I set my sights on you, Michael, if I set my sights on you, Don, and you give me all the power and the force of the New York law enforcement agencies, I guarantee you I'll find something to charge you with. I promise you. You can find anybody. Like the old saying, you can charge a ham, you can indict a ham sandwich. Another police officer said, if
you
follow,
you won't
hold on, a police officer said, a police officer said, if you follow any car for 100 miles, you can find a violation. You find a reason to pull them over.
That's true, but you're overlooking the severity of this crime. Okay, you're not gonna. You can follow me all day. You might catch me doing something illegal, but you're not gonna. You're not gonna catch me inflating my property, stealing money from the government, cheating on
what
my taxes.
Crime?
You're not going to catch me doing that.
He's
I'm telling
Michael.
You the crime.
He's,
I'm
he's
telling
never
you
been,
the crime.
He's never been convicted of cheating on his taxes. He's never
he
been convicted
be
of that.
Real soon. He will be real soon.
No, that's not even what she's, Michael, that's not even what she's charging him with. You don't even know the case, brother. She's not even charging him with cheating on his taxes because you know why? That's, first of all, it's a federal crime if it's his federal taxes. His state taxes is not what she's bringing into question. She's bringing into question the property values, the values that he placed on his property, in which the banks and the insurance companies who loaned him the money and insured the properties said, we have no problems at all. So what crime are you talking about, Michael?
Okay, when I say taxes, I mean because when he needed the loan, he showed the bank fraudulent tax form saying he made X amount when he didn't make that amount. So he did
That's
cheat
not true.
On his taxes. And when it was time
That's
to pay
true,
those
Michael.
Taxes, hang on, when it was time to pay those
Michael.
Taxes, he said, oh, the building's only worth $5 when it's only worth $5
Michael.
Million. Okay.
Michael, you got to follow
That's
up.
What she's
follow
charging
up. That's not what That's not what she's charging him with. She's charging him with, like you said, over inflating the value of his property, right? Let me ask you a question. I'm going to make this real simple. I'm going to ask you, Don, everybody on the line. If you go to the bank right now and you tell the bank your house is worth $20 million, knowing that your house is only worth $500,000, well, is that bank going to give you a $20 million loan because you said it's worth $20 million? Or are they going to do their own due diligence? Yeah, don't answer because you guys know the
okay,
answer.
Okay, no, I'll answer.
Donald
me,
Trump could not have lied. He could
okay,
not have lied because the banks went out and did their own appraisals. They did their own due diligence, and they gave him the loan based on the evaluations. It's not just based on what Donald Trump says the value is. And anybody that has anything to do with real estate knows that that's BS.
Okay, let me answer that question. Yes, for you and I, they will absolutely send an appraiser out and get the numbers right. You're absolutely right. But for a guy like Donald Trump, no. They're just going to take his word for it. Okay, you
That's
and I don't
have
to
Michael.
Level
no
of
bank
access.
Does that.
Yeah, yes, they are. Yes, they are. Because, yes, they will. They'll just take his
they
word.
They testified,
go over his...
Michael, the banks testified. They came to the trial and testified that they did their own evaluation. They loaned him the money, and he paid it back, and they had no issues at all. The banks testified and the insurance companies.
And what trial? There hasn't been a trial yet. What trial are you referring to?
I'm talking about the trial in New York where they're trying to say that he inflated the value of his properties in order to obtain loans. And they had the banks come in and testify and the insurance companies that said they were not harmed, that they did their own due diligence, and that those properties, that the money they lent was justified by their evaluations. But it didn't stop Letitia James, nor the judge. They're still going forward with it.
Because that's not all.
You get your...
That's not all that was there, because there's all kind of things, according to a lot of court documents and statements made on the court, in the court, from August 2015 to December 2017, Trump actually orchestrated his catch-and-kill scheme. You know, that was through a series of payments that he concealed and sent out to different people. Well, one, for instance, exactly, the American Media, Inc. paid $30,000 to a former Trump Tower doorman who claimed he knew the story about a Trump child that he had out of wedlock. So he paid the money. The second instance, he paid $150,000 to a woman who alleged that she had a sexual relationship with Trump when Trump explicitly directed a lawyer who then worked for the Trump Organization as Trump's special counsel to reimburse AMI in cash. The special counsel indicated to Trump that the payment should be made via a shell company and not by cash. And the third instance, 12 days before the presidential election, a special counsel wired $130,000 to an attorney for an adult film actress. The special counsel, who has since pleaded guilty and served time in prison for making that contribution, made the payment through the shell corporation funded through Trump's bank in Manhattan. So there were other things going on other than the value of the homes and all those kinds of things that she was getting him for. You understand that?
Okay, now you could. I do, but you're conflating the issues, David. Those are two different things, and it's already been established that an NDA is not a crime. Hush money is not a crime. It's not a crime, and they already tried it. Stormy Daniels already tried to sue Donald Trump for that, and Donald Trump ended up suing her. Now she owes Donald Trump money. And NDA is not a crime, guys. So I don't know what you're talking about. There is no crime here. But you're trying to make one. And it's all going to come out. You're going to see, because you keep trying to go after this man because you want to take him off the ballot. Why are you guys so afraid of Donald Trump? Let the American people decide. If they feel he's a criminal, if they feel he's a scam artist or a con artist, guess what? They won't vote for him. But if they feel he is and they still vote for him, guess what? That's your choice as an American. That's what a democracy is all about. But you guys who claim to care about democracy, you want to scrap democracy. You want to handle it yourself. You don't want to leave it up to the American people because you guys are elite and think that you know better than the American people, so you can't allow them to make a choice because they're not smart enough.
You
and
ask
the Democratic Party.
We're afraid of him because he said he would be a dictator on day one out
but
of his own mouth.
One day. Listen. God.
I can't believe you're saying that. You would accept him being a dictator for one day, Bruce. You
he used
that.
The word saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to drill. I'm going to open up the petroleum reserves that are sitting under our feet to make us independent. And I'm going to take care of the border. And yes, it was the moment he said dictator, I said, bad choice of words, because the left will run with that like a dog with a hubcap. And that's exactly what you've done. You don't listen. You manipulate words.
Hey, Bruce, anybody who knows anything about a representative democratic republic knows that even if Donald Trump pronounced that he's going to be a dictator, there are enough stop gaps and fail safes in our Constitution where you can't even be allowed. It's not even possible.
That's right.
We don't live in a banana republic where all you have to do is rally up the military general and you storm the presidential chambers and take over. That's not how America works. But you guys have drunk all of the Kool-Aid and you have sipped the fear and believe that somehow this man can get in office and take over America and become king and never leave.
And you
what
think,
Constitution
and
are you guys reading? What Constitution are you looking at?
And Darius,
okay.
They say that because they have a lot of people that will believe it, even though it's a lie.
Exactly.
Okay, how just crazy is it for you guys to sit here and say, the guy says he wants to be a dictator, but fortunately we have guardrails up where he can't do that, so I'm going to vote for him. But he really does.
I didn't say
be
that,
dictator.
Michael.
The fact that you guys accept that is insane.
Michael, I didn't say that. I'm going off what you guys said. You guys said that he wants to be a dictator or he will become one. I'm saying if that was, I'm saying,
he said it.
He said for a day, Michael. He said for a day. What I'm saying to you is, Michael, tell me how would it work? Please. You, Don, explain to me how could a president become a dictator, a president of the United States of America? How would that work? How could he accomplish that?
The fact that he wants to do it for one day.
You not don't know. I don't want to hear that. I want to know if you think that this man could become a dictator, how would he accomplish that goal? Anybody.
Darius, let me interject something here. Then if that's the case, gentlemen, Don and Michael, then the dictator of weeks or months of Joe Biden, when he came into office, I signed this. He just didn't use the word dictator. He was doing the same you know what thing. So don't be pompous about that. You took his meaning out of context. You do it all the time to further the fear on the left, so those people. Well, you can find a way to get them to vote for you because you can't beat them in the election booth.
All right. Let's move on to something else. We got a lot of people calling in with a lot of questions about the conversation we're having. Most of them want to know, I guess they're asking for each one of you to say what is the most important thing about politics to you, the one most important thing about politics to you. Why don't you answer that question, Bruce?
Oh, it's very easy. Thank you, David. It's one word, truth. I'm not saying we get it all the time. We get it very little at times. But the most important thing is truth. And we need a whole lot more of that on both sides.
All right, Don, what is your answer? Hello, Don? Well, Michael, what about you?
Definitely.
Can you
power.
Hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Can you hear
yeah,
me now?
I can. Yes.
The word true. T-R-U-E. True politicians that really care about the people and don't just say what they want to hear.
That's
we need
right,
true
Don.
Politicians.
You and I agree.
All right. Michael, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I would say power. I would say definitely power.
All right. Darius, did I ask you? What?
No, sir, you didn't.
No, I know. I mean, so can you answer the question?
What is the most important thing in politics to me?
Yes.
It's absolutely personal freedom, without fail. Personal freedom. You don't have to like what I want to be or what I want to do, or as long as I am not infringing upon your rights and your ability to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, then I relish that, and I cherish any politician that upholds personal freedoms.
So you're saying that you think politicians should have personal – I mean, that what you just said was kind of strange because that's what a dictator thinks.
Really?
No. I'm saying – let me clarify. I thought you meant what does – it uphold for me politics, not politicians. And what I was saying is politics, to me, I support politicians who uphold the personal freedoms afforded to us by God and the Constitution of the United States. That's what's most important to me. Not that the politicians have personal freedom to do whatever they want to do. I'm talking about the freedom of the people.
Well, you know, that can be stretched out because you're saying by God, and most religions were discovered or made by men, not God. They're telling you God to worship God, but the religions were actually put together by men. So how do you put that in there?
I wasn't talking about religion. If you read the preamble of the Constitution, it says inalienable rights given to us by the Creator. So I wasn't talking about the religion. I was talking about there are certain inalienable rights that God, every human being, freely, that does not come from the government.
There's only 10
That's
of those.
That's what I'm talking about.
There's only 10
what
of those.
What do you mean 10 of what?
Commandments.
10 what? No, not commandments. Not commandments. Inalienable rights. The right to life. The right to liberty. The right to pursue happiness. Those
yeah.
are rights, the right to breathe, to walk the earth, the right to choose your path, free will. Those are the rights given to us by God, not by government. And that's what
yeah,
our founding fathers led with.
Hey, Darius, politicians are given the right to govern us. And that's what
yeah.
he's saying.
Within,
they're given the right to govern us.
That's what I mean
they
by
are,
power.
But what I'm saying,
not
though,
to,
is
not to
that,
abuse that right.
To, yeah, right. It has to be within that framework is what I'm trying to say, Don. They give the right to govern us in within the framework of the Constitution and the rights afforded to us by God. That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
If they go outside of that, now I got a problem.
David,
wow.
real quick, what would your answer be, David?
I'll tell you personally. Because right now we're
right.
right now we're happy to
hey, happy birthday.
Because we only got 30
happy birthday,
left.
David.
Oh, thank
happy
you.
Happy birthday, David.
Thank
happy
you.
Birthday, David.
Thank you.
Yeah, happy birthday, David.
You've been listening
David.
To The Man's Voice. Very good show, the beginning of 2024. Please join us again next week at 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I'd like to say have a great week. Stay warm and stay out the weather. See you guys next
come
week.
Come back for more fireworks. God bless everybody.
God bless. Have a good week, guys.